dive deep into the stories the mainstream media won't touch. This is the American Journal.
Want to come down a rabbit hole with me?
If you haven't heard, right now in eastern Idaho, 500,000 acres of farmland is without the use of water. This happened on May 30th when the Department of Water Resources ordered 6,400 groundwater users to shut off their water. They're saying it's due to a predicted yearly shortfall and to non-compliance to mitigations. But this is 500,000 acres of farmland. That's our food supply. And Idaho farmers are asking for our help. They are asking that we call the governor and let him know that water curtailment is not the answer. Here's where the rabbit hole comes in. Buckle up. And again, I am nobody. I'm just an American. These videos are for entertainment purposes only, and none of this is my opinion. Here are some facts that can be found with an internet search. There's a company called Jervis operating out of Salmon, Idaho. This is a $150 million facility that was then given an additional $15 million from the Department of Defense. And as of June 2024, today, now, they've been given the green light to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're mining for cobalt. Cobalt's used for lithium batteries, and they need to use a lot of water to do so. But that's been known. There were numerous articles warning about this situation. It's known that the extraction process leads to water scarcity, and that water curtailment order came one day prior to that company getting the green light to mine 24/7. But remember, lithium is used for the batteries in our phones, the batteries in electric cars, and for military infrastructure. So do with that information what you will. But the farmers, they're simply asking that we call and let the governor know that water curtailment is not the answer.
So there you go, some speculation as to what is behind the water curtailment that's leaving 500,000 acres of Idaho farmland without the necessary water to grow the crops that we need to eat in this deliberate collapse, the shutdown, the deconstruction of not just our industrial base, but our farming base as well. Now, just quickly here, a couple notes on the abysmal, inexplicable failure of the Biden administration to do absolutely anything, despite having all of the money and all of the political will to do whatever the hell they want. Just a couple examples here. Pete Buttigieg ridiculed for Joe Biden's $7.5 billion massive failure. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, old sneaky Pete, was pressed on Sunday about the low number of electric vehicle charging stations the Biden administration rolled out across the country over the past 3 years, with his response garnering criticism and ridicule among social media users. President Joe Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure law in November 2021, allocating $7.5 billion for electric vehicle charging. Of this, $5 billion is dedicated to building a network of chargers along major highways called the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program. While appearing on CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday, host Margaret Brennan asked Buttigieg about this $7.5 billion investment that has only created 8 charging stations. The Federal Highway Administration says only 7 or 8 charging... Oh, it might only be 7. Sorry. We might have miscounted here. We can't even get an accurate count. 7 or 8 charging stations have been produced with a $7.5 billion investment that taxpayers made back in 2021. Why isn't that happening more quickly? Well, because it's the government. It's just fraud and lies. $7.5 billion and they make 7 charging stations. Which sounds bad until you learn what they've done with internet access. U.S. to spend $42 billion to make internet access universal by 2030. This was published in 2023. So a year ago, they decided to spend $42 billion on internet connectivity. They have not connected one person. Not one person. So you thought $7 billion for 7 charging stations was bad. Try $42 billion for nothing. Nothing. Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. If there's one thing that sort of draws a lot of these stories together throughout the show today, it's the willingness of the mainstream media and the wider public to destroy people's lives so that their policies can continue. We've seen this over and over. The prime example we constantly use is Loudoun County, because it was almost like a script. Like you couldn't write it better than this. Where they want to institute a policy that is insane and obviously going to have major negative effects. People on the right notice that and go, hey, this is wrong and bad and this shouldn't happen. They're called hateful bigots. They're silenced one way or another, usually through force, sometimes through coercion or manipulation. The policy is implemented. The negative effects occur. The bad things that we were warning about happen. And then they cover up those bad things so that the policy can continue unabated regardless of their negative consequences. So they want to let transgender boys into the girls' bathroom. People say that's not good. You're gonna have people abusing this. They're going to have people who aren't really transgender going into the girls' bathroom to do bad things. This is not appropriate. This shouldn't happen. They say, shut up, bigot. They implement the policy. A girl gets raped in the bathroom. They don't even tell the parents it happened. They don't punish the kid that did it. They send him to another school where he does it again because they're perfectly willing to allow you to be raped, allow your family to be murdered, allow a pregnant woman to take a shot that aborts her baby. They're willing to do all of this rather than admit their policies are not beneficial. It's more important to them to have these policies implemented, and they could care less about how many people have to suffer as a consequence, because they live in a world of delusion where if you cover something up, it means it doesn't exist. If you just don't report the crime, it means crime has gone down. If you simply call the video a deepfake, you can ignore the video of the thing that you're trying to cover up. They actually have this weird, twisted view where, like, they really think they control reality. They really think perception is reality. They think if we can just manipulate perception, then our lies become true somehow. It's a deeply disturbed psychological construct that we're operating in when we deal with these people. And so we covered the trans shooter manifesto that shows clearly she was a victim of continual propaganda and manipulation and mind control by the lefties, whether it was in terms of gender or race or religion. She was radicalized by the left. But they don't want you to know that because they want to keep radicalizing people. So they cover up the manifesto. When the manifesto gets leaked and published and shows beyond any doubt that that's the reason why this was happening, then they threatened the journalist who published the information with 10 years in prison if he doesn't give up his source. And a very similar thing is happening with transgender child mutilation at a Texas hospital, as a surgeon there, a doctor, could also be facing up to 10 years in prison for exposing that this transgender experimentation was taking place when the hospital said it wasn't. Here's a story from InfoWars. Doctor could face up to 10 years in prison for exposing transgender child mutilation at Texas hospital. We have a news report on this. Let's go now to clip number 19. Here's a local news report about this surgeon facing a decade in prison for exposing that the hospital he worked in was doing transgender surgery on children as young as 11, despite publicly denying that fact. Let's watch.
Faces four felony charges. Nate Foy is in Houston. He's got more on this for us. And Nate, what are you learning ahead of today's arraignment?
Well, Sandra, for the first time, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Texas is commenting on the indictment of Dr. Eitan Heim, who is set to appear in federal court here in Houston at 3 o'clock Eastern time, so under an hour and a half from now. So Dr. Heim is facing four felony charges related to HIPAA violations after he released redacted records claiming to show a secret and illegal transgender medicine clinic for kids at Texas Children's Hospital. Now, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, quote, the four-count indictment alleges Heim obtained personal information, including patient names, treatment codes, and the attending physician from Texas Children's Hospital's electronic system without authorization. He allegedly obtained this information under false pretenses and with intent to cause malicious harm to Texas Children's Hospital. Now, Fox News reached out to the hospital for comments. So far, we haven't heard back. Dr. Heim claims the hospital continued performing transition procedures for kids after its CEO claimed the clinic shut down.
So they were giving every indication to the public that they were shutting down this program. But I worked there. I did surgery there. I knew categorically this was untrue. They not only continued the program, but expanded it behind closed doors. And especially as a doctor, trust is the most important currency we have. And the fact that they were lying to the public is an egregious violation of medical ethics.
If convicted, Dr. Heim faces up to 10 years in prison. He will be here in person today as he faces a judge for the first time. Sandra?
And I know you'll keep us.
10 years in prison for exposing an illegal child mutilation clinic. And that's what this is. And you know, there's this sort of, it's an aspect of like the you know, sort of manufactured complacency to all of this. That's like, well, but it's a hospital, and the hospital has a right to protect its patients' information. Okay, but what the hospital is doing is illegal and stripped of the, you know, sort of medical and institutional qualifiers that make it seem like this is all by the book and good. I mean, if this was being done in a back alley somewhere where children were being delivered by their parents, some, you know, black market Tijuana surgeon to castrate them, wouldn't that be an issue? Wouldn't that be something that somebody would speak up about? So just because it's done in the glaring fluorescent light of a hospital doesn't mean it's not still the same horrific crime being carried out. Just because it's done under the deceptive approval of the hospital administrator doesn't mean that what's being done is any less gruesome and horrific. Heim says he has maintained that no medical privacy laws were broken when he provided evidence of TCH's continued transgender program to Rufo. He and his legal team remained uncertain about the details of the charges and will have to wait until Monday, June 17th. So that hearing occurred yesterday. quote, "It's my responsibility as a doctor, as a physician, to expose this to the public," Heim told Daily Wire. "If I don't, then this abuse can continue. I knew that future generations like my children would never be able to forgive me if they knew I had a chance to do something and I decided to stay silent. It requires average, everyday doctors to stand up and speak out against things like this," said the 33-year-old general surgeon. I know Dr. Mary Bowden commented on this, asking, where are the other doctors at Texas Children's Hospital standing up for this guy? I mean, it's not like he was accessing medical information illegally to, you know, expose something that everybody knew was going on. No, this CEO said they weren't doing this anymore. They acknowledged that this was that transgender surgery to children is not medically valid and that it shouldn't be done. And that it, in fact, is performing a physical surgery that cripples the patient for life, as they've admitted. We've shown the videos. They go, oh, every patient I've ever had, they've never achieved sexual orgasm. It's like, okay, so you're literally just castrating children and cutting them off from ever being able to reproduce, let alone experience, you know, the sexual act for the rest of their lives. Again, just because it's done on a surgeon's table instead of, you know, a mattress in Tijuana, it doesn't mean it's any more medically valid. And if it was medically valid, then they would continue doing it and be able to show positive results. Instead, every result that we've seen from studies over the last 6 months, really a lot have come out over the last 6 months, showing that not only does transgender surgery, whatever they call it, gender confirmation surgery, whatever the Orwellian doublespeak term for it is. We like to call it castration here because that's the accurate term. And they show that going through these procedures not only doesn't alleviate the pain caused by transgenderism, usually it makes it worse, actually. Suicidality goes up following these interventions. So it's a real question. Where are the doctors and surgeons at this hospital standing up for their fellow surgeon, going, hey, we were told this wasn't happening. We were told publicly that this was not going on, but it was. That was, we were lied to. This practice continued despite protestations to the opposite. And he shouldn't have had to go get this information. This information should have never been hidden. They shouldn't have been doing this in the first place. Where are the other doctors to stand up for these people? Just a reminder how to report HIPAA violations. You do not have to be the person whose records were violated. Just be aware of the violation. So I guess they're... So let's see. Haim goes to court today for the charges after him exposing Texas Children's gender modification procedures on minors. Like reporting doctors to the medical boards during COVID, the left has found a way to punish anybody that challenges trans ideology. Yeah, so this is from Mary Talley Bowden. Bowden. As this article continues, part of it notes that all of this is part of a larger troubling pattern by Biden DOJ. So what does Mary Bowden say here? HHS Office of Civil Rights states that hospitals are not required to comply with law enforcement requests for information related to abortion or gender-affirming care unless there is a court order. Where are all the other witnesses at Texas Children who are staying silent? I hope they will come forward. Please consider donating to Dr. Heim's legal fund. You can find it there. He has a Give, Send, Go. Yeah, they point out that this is an intimidation technique, attempting to silence people. Because that's the other option. It's like you hear that they're doing transgender surgery on children as young as 11. Okay? People who don't know crap about anything. Right? 11-year-olds are dumb, quite frankly. God bless them, but they don't know what the hell how the world works or who they are or what they're going to be like in 10 years. I wouldn't trust an 11-year-old to pick what to eat for dinner. You're going to let an 11-year-old choose to permanently disfigure themselves? So you hear about this happening. Excuse me. You hear about this happening. You see that they're doing transgender surgery on 11-year-olds. They're mutilating permanently prepubescent children. And what the DOJ wants you to think is, I better just say so. I better not say anything. I better let this continue, because otherwise I might go to jail for 10 years. I know I took an oath, the Hippocratic Oath, that begins first, do no harm. And that would be a violation of my oath to allow this to continue without speaking up. But if I say what's actually happening, if I tell the truth, I might go to jail for 10 years. So I better just stay silent. The authorities probably know what's best. The DOJ's investigation, which began nearly a year ago, and the looming prosecution of Haim is largely seen as an intimidation tactic intended to enforce silence on those who would otherwise speak out against the favored policy of the Biden regime in general and against those who would object to child mutilating gender transition surgeries and chemical interventions in particular. Quote, this is not the first time we've seen the Justice Department behave this way, wielding executive power to intimidate both political opponents and cultural enemies. National Review's Madeline Kearns said in an interview, we've seen this with pro-life Americans, traditionalist Catholics, even vaccine skeptics, and it looks like they're trying to bully their enemies into kind of going along. And look, if they can bully you into going along with this, what would you not go along with? If they can intimidate you into silence as they mutilate children, what are you not going to let them get away with? Again, any of this stuff, when stripped of its institutional approval, is all on the face of it so abhorrent and objectionable that I don't get how they get away with it. I mean, it relates to everything, right? Pride parades with grown men exposing themselves. And it's like, that's illegal, but it goes on. Yesterday we covered 10-year-old girl, butt naked in a pride parade, naked bike ride with a bunch of full grown men. A nude 10-year-old being gawked at by a bunch of naked men. It's horrifying. It's illegal. It shouldn't happen. Somehow, because it's in a pride parade, it's fine. If I were to tell you that some mother out there drugged her kid, and while the kid was sleeping, used some kitchen shears to demasculate him, wouldn't that be a horrifying crime? Oh, but when it's done by a psychiatrist, it's okay? When it's done by a surgeon in a hospital, it's somehow different? The effect is the same. The outcome's the same. Brutality is the same. So I don't get how they get away with this stuff that you would obviously, like, you know, I don't want to get shot. I don't want to get, you know, my ass kicked by some parent out there. So I'm not going to do it, but it would be interesting to go out and actually try to, like, you know, you can just imagine, like, find a parent with their kid at the park. But you don't go up to the parent, obviously. You go directly to the kid. You start offering them books about, like, gay sex. And just see what happens. Oh, but when it's done in an elementary school, it's fine? When it's the librarian doing it, it's okay? No, it at the personal level, if you just think about this as happening outside of the institutional constructs that seemingly give them legitimacy, all of these things are objectionable, horrifying. Nobody would stand for them. Somehow there's this, like, manufactured consent when it comes to these things happening in the institutions that in reality should make it worse. It's like, it's one thing if some guy just wandering around, some pervert's wandering around in a trench coat flashing kids. It's like, we kind of know how to conceive of that. We know how to deal with that. It's a bad dude that needs to be locked up and punished. It's like a lot worse when it's a city-sponsored event, right? And I don't know what happens in the minds of parents. Maybe instead of doing it for real, you just do a skit of it where it's like, you know, parents like, oh, where's my kid? She was just playing on the slide. Oh, she's over. She's talking to some man. Oh, my 7-year-old is talking to some man. He's showing her a book. He goes up and it's like, you know, it's just like cartoons of hardcore sex. The guy's like, yeah, see, it's fun to do this. The person's like, what the hell are you saying to my kid? And the guy's like, don't worry, I'm an elementary school teacher. The parent's like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, whew. I thought you were some gay pervert that was trying to groom my child. But now that I understand you're an elementary school teacher, you're a librarian, well, now it's fine all of a sudden. Now it's good and loving, liberal. So we'll have to follow up on this. Hopefully, maybe I'll reach out to Dr. Bowden, see if we can get her on to talk about this, because it is very, very disturbing that you've got a hospital full of, I mean, God only knows. Texas Children's Hospital is probably the largest children's hospital in America. It's up there. It's huge. Houston has a very robust medical industry, probably the best in the world. And Texas Children's is like a premier hospital down there. There's probably thousands of doctors in that organization. I don't know if one of them has come out on the side of their colleague to say what this man was exposing was illegal. It should have never been happening. It was not supposed to be happening. The fact that he had to use clandestine means to expose this was happening was just something he had to do. He didn't expose the patients' names. He didn't dox people. He didn't target people. He didn't publish the information that was personally identifiable. He published simply the fact it was happening. The fact that something was happening that was recognized and acknowledged to be bad and shouldn't have been happening in the first place. Why do you think the CEO came out saying we aren't doing this? And not one of them has the courage to even speak out about this. To even say, hey, you know, as soft of a expression of support as you could want. They can't even manage that. They can't ever conceive of a time where their hospital is doing something abhorrent and dangerous that they might want to get out there. They cannot fathom a case in which they become aware of dangerous activity at their hospital that they might have a professional and moral obligation to report. Because in their minds, if the institution's doing it, it must be good and right, and it's their job to fall in line and comply. So even just the softest, you know, like, hey, look, I want the case to go forward. If he violated HIPAA, then HIPAA's important and we need to stick to that. But, and by the way, how important is HIPAA after COVID? I mean, they literally, it's ridiculous. Hospital systems are literally selling their HIPAA information to Amazon and Google. It's like a giant program. This is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with HIPAA. It has everything to do with silencing people speaking out about crimes against children. Okay? Where is the courage here?
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning! Morning!
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning! Morning!
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning! Morning! Morning!
Morning! Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
What we've seen over the last centuries is that it's actually a good idea to give banks and governments the ability to create more and more money in order to build more trust within society.
So I'm watching that and I'm thinking, is this guy absolutely nuts? I mean, he is a smart guy. He's evil, but he's a smart guy. How could he say that printing money is going to bring trust when so much in our society right now is people can't afford to eat? They can't afford to pay their mortgage or their rent or buy food or do anything, right? Inflation doesn't bring trust, right? But what is he saying? He's misusing the word trust, because what he's actually saying is, hey, when we print money, we're going to be able to give you Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, handouts, stimulus. We'll raise the debt ceiling to keep this game perpetuated. We'll do all of this stuff. And so then the people will say, trust, what? It's like, I'll tolerate you because you're giving me free stuff. That's not trust. That's accepting their garbage because they're giving you free stuff. That comes with printing of money excessively. So misuse of the word trust, because I don't think he's a dumb guy. I think he's evil, beyond evil, who has no respect for human life. But yet he says this and it's like, man, they just said, in his words from the World Economic Forum, you know, their biggest evangelist, that we're going to continue to print money. We're going to continue to make people dependent on the government for all of their needs, because the government wants to take the place of God in people's lives. And that statement, when you dissect what he said, that's what he's saying.
Amazing points. KEPM.com/gold. Check them out. Go on the site. Call them. Get a consultation. Email them. Talk to them. 720-605-3900. Again, that's 720-605-3900. One of the most important calls you would make, obviously, and like he's been saying, get silver. It's up 40% on the year. He says that you'll make such profits in silver when the gold run starts. You use that profit to buy the gold, and you sell it back to Dr. Kirk Elliott with zero cost, which no big broker, no big company does. That's why there are 4.7 star ratings that nobody else has.
Viene una tormenta.
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Two more segments, two more big stories to cover, but both of them, well, they sort of have some cross-pollination here. As I want to cover what's going on in Israel, and I want to cover censorship. And how convenient a lot of the censorship being done right now is on the basis of whether or not you support Israel. So it's all very convenient. This story from the Jerusalem Post is shocking and unexpected, I guess, if you're not paying attention. We don't know this. Israel's military knew of Hamas's October 7th plans before terror attack. What? But I thought it was illegal to question this. But wait a second, there are laws against questioning October 7th. So how could this be? Yeah, look, the IDF knew this was happening. They were given warning after warning after warning. This is nothing new. This is just throw it on the pile. Throw it on the pile of all of the times that Israel was warned in explicit detail about what was happening, what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, how it was going to be carried out. They knew. They knew because Egypt warned them. They knew because America warned them. They knew because they had their own information on this. And now we're learning that they knew even more than we thought. They weren't vague warnings about something that could be happening. They were very specific warnings a month before it happened about exactly how it would happen. A newly surfaced document has revealed that the Israeli Defense Forces and intelligence systems had detailed knowledge of Hamas's plans to raid Israel and kidnap 250 people weeks before the October 7th massacre. The document, which was compiled in the Gaza division, outlined Hamas's intentions and was known to top intelligence officials, according to a report by Khan News. The document, titled Detailed End-to-End Raid Training, was distributed on September 19, 2023, and described in detail the series of exercises conducted by Hamas's elite units. These exercises included raiding military posts in kibbutzim, kidnapping soldiers and civilians, and maintaining hostages once they were in the Gaza Strip. Reported by Khan News, the report by Khan News stated, quote, security sources told Khan News that the document was known to the intelligence leadership, at the very least in the Gaza division. The document's revelations came in wake of widespread criticism over failure to anticipate and prevent the October 7th attack, which resulted in significant casualties and hostages. The IDF had precise information about Hamas's intentions, but due to prevailing conceptions within the security establishment and possible negligence by senior officials, the warning signs were not acted upon. The report further detailed that Israeli intelligence officials monitored the exercise and documented the steps Hamas planned to take after breaching Israeli territory and taking over military posts. The expected number of hostages, according to the document, was between 200 and 250 people. They knew how many hostages they were going to try to take. Gee, makes you wonder if they knew what this attack was going to be and when it was going to be and how it was going to be carried out. Sure is strange that they would place a last minute, suddenly rescheduled and moved music festival to be directly in the line of danger. That seems odd that they would allow that to continue, allow that to take place. Israeli intelligence officials who monitored the exercise detailed in the documents the next steps after breaching into Israel and taking over the post determined that the instructions is to hand over the captured soldiers to the company commanders. The expected number of hostages, it states, is between 200 and 250 people. That this information, combined with new and sophisticated security barrier completed 2 years before the attack, was believed to have made such an assault improbable. However, the barrier failed during the Hamas attack, highlighting a significant intelligence and security oversight. Again, is it oversight? I don't think it is. I think this was deliberate. I think they wanted this. Now, that being said, this has not been a positive for Israel by any regards. I mean, even remotely. They have been so, you know, just demonized across the globe after their response to this. And it's like everything they do, and again, I don't know how long the excuse is going to work. I don't know if like 10 years from now, it's going to be like, wow, you killed more babies. And they're like, well, remember October 7th, 10 years ago? Remember that? So, I mean, for 7 months, they've been just obliterating families and killing tens of thousands of innocent people. And it just goes on and on. And every time that the criticism comes up, it's like, well, but what about October 7th? And it's like, well, what about October 7th? What about it? You knew it was going to happen. You did nothing to stop it. When it was happening, you did nothing to intervene for 7 hours. Okay, just explain that to me for a second. And when you did respond, you sent Apache helicopters to kill everyone involved, including the hostages and the Israelis. So, what about October 7th? So because an attack occurred that you allowed to happen, that you knew was going to happen, did nothing to prevent, that you didn't actually try to stop on the day it was happening, and that you actually made worse by killing huge numbers of the people that you were apparently intending to save, because that happened, you get a blank check to murder an infinite number of people. This really can't go on that much longer. It really can't. And anybody with a moral conscience should be sick of this by now. And a lot of people are. Unfortunately, the brainwashing and the manipulation and the peer pressure of the Jewish community to its own members really prevents a lot of you know, normally good people that would oppose this sort of thing, to instead be silent and complicit in it. So I want to go now to clip number three. Here's a Jewish woman who says that she has been completely ostracized from her community for not being in support of the relentless massacres. Let's watch.
My rabbi blocked me. I lost my whole community as a Jewish person. Everyone that I grew up with, everyone I went to Hebrew school with and my Jewish preschool with was posting Zionist propaganda, and nobody seemed to want to listen to reason. So I blocked them and I reached out to my rabbi and I made a video about it because I reached out to him and I said, please, I beg you, say something. Say something about the genocide. Say something about what's going on. Just speak up for the voiceless, because that is what we're supposed to do as Jewish people. You taught me that. He taught me that. He's the one who taught me that. And he said, oh, well, why don't you come to my office and we'll talk? And I said, no, I'm not coming to your office, because you know what the right thing is to do and you're not doing it. I gave up. And then I started sending him articles again last week after the massacre. And he blocked me. And he's posting, bring them home. I sent him that photo of that man holding his headless child after his refugee camp was bombed. And he blocked me. He has two kids. He has two young children. And he's posting vacation photos of him and his husband and his kids having a great time. I've never felt so lonely in my entire life, because I can't rely on my own community anymore. I can't trust my own community. Yes, a lot of us are speaking out in support of Palestine, but it's not enough. It should be all of us. We're supposed to be better than this. This is not who we are.
Well, it is, unfortunately. But it is, though. So they knew it was going to happen. They allowed it to happen. And now they've used the thing that they allowed to happen as an excuse to, yeah, murder people relentlessly. It really is crazy. It really is crazy. And of course, even talking about this is rapidly being made illegal. We've got Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries demanding immediate passage of ADL-backed Countering Anti-Semitism Act, which of course means just expressing the stuff that we're expressing here, the truth about the situation in Israel and Gaza. Anti-Semitism czar scolds Washington Post for fostering anti-Semitism by reporting on Jewish donors pushing protest crackdown. For telling the truth that reflects badly on Israel, that's anti-Semitism. You'll be silenced, no matter if you're Jewish or not.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks, because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing. A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best tasting, best smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund our Operation A360 Win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now.
Good evening, America. I thought we'd take some time out of our daily lives and sit down for a nice little chat. There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak. I suspect now even calls are being placed from the White House to members of Big Tech. I can almost hear George Takei and Stephen King tweeting furiously on their phones. And very soon, federal agents will be on their way. Why? Because words lead us to the truth, and the truth is, there is something very wrong with this country, isn't there? Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression, and where once you had the freedom to object, until now you have had sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission. How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. Oh, I know why you did it. You were afraid of the Orange Man. Who wouldn't be? Mean tweets, funny jokes, and fights with Rosie O'Donnell. Fear got the better of you, and in your panic you turned to Joseph Robinette Biden. He promised you war. He promised to forgive your student debts and make reparations for slavery. And all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent. So if you have seen nothing, if the crimes of this government remain unknown to you, then I would suggest you allow the 5th of November to pass unmarked. But if you see as I see, if you feel as I feel, if you would seek as I seek, then I ask you to stand beside me at the ballot box, and together we shall give them a 5th of November that shall never, ever be forgot.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Folks, final segment of American Journal. Remember to go to InfoWarsStore.com to get yourself a product that you need and will love. Incredible things like BrainForce Ultra, the liquid tincture version of our popular nootropic BrainForce Plus. That's 40% off, as are many of our other best sellers in the summer kickoff super sale. Ultra 12, Ultimate Fish Oil, Survival Shield X3, Vaso Beats, DNA Force Plus, Bodies, Nitric Boost, and so much more. At 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there today. Don't wait. It's going to us. It's keeping this operation afloat. I know a lot of people were waiting to discover whether InfoWars would even be around. We've been given a grace period. We have at least 2 months. Anything, any order you place today will not only be delivered, it gets shipped out the very next day. But your purchase will contribute directly to keeping us on air and allowing us to take advantage of this respite we've been given. We really need to think of it as a beachhead. As landing in Normandy, we've successfully weathered the counterattack. And we're ready to march forward, ready to advance. But we need the supply line established. So please do go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be our supply line. Keep the troops fed on the front lines. InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this article I'm about to get into is very funny. It is a very funny article. It's not meant to be, but it is. It really is. It's from The Atlantic. My encounter with the fantasy industrial complex. This poor, beleaguered woman named Renee DiResta is she's baffled, she's confused, she's outraged, she doesn't know what to make of the fact that all of these conspiracy theorists online have come up with all of these claims about her. Okay, so we're gonna try to empathize with her here. See what can you imagine what this would be like to be suddenly thrust into the center of this sprawling conspiracy theory? The question is whether any of it was true, and I think you might know the answer here. She says, in an alternative universe, I run a sprawling cabal. Its goal, according to contrarian newsletters, crank blogs, and breathless podcasts where the fantasy plays out, is to silence right-wing populace on behalf of the deep state. Each morning, Google alerts arrive in my inbox detailing the adventures of a fictional character bearing my name. Last month, she starred in an article about a global censorship prison built by the women of the CIA. In a Substack article headlined, Media Ruled by a Robust PSYOP Alliance, later posted on InfoWars, an anti-vaccine propagandist implicated my alter ego in a plot to bring about a one-world government. A blog post titled, When Military Rule Supplants Democracy, quoted commentators who lumped her in with the Color Revolution blob, a reference to popular revolts against Russian-backed governments and the perpetrators of dirty tricks overseas. You get the idea. Somewhat flatteringly, the commentators who make up these stories portray me as highly competent. One post on X credited the imaginary me with, quote, brainwashing all of the local election officials to facilitate the theft of the 2020 election from Donald Trump. The plot lines in this cinematic universe go back to the so-called Twitter files, internal documents released to a group of writers after Elon Musk bought the social media platform. Some of these writers have posited that the existence of a staggering censorship industrial complex, of which I am supposedly a leader. In written testimony for a March 2023 hearing of Representative Jim Jordan's Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, the Substack writer Michael Schellenberger claimed that my cohorts and I censored 22 million tweets during the 2020 election. It also insinuated that I have CIA ties that I've kept hidden from public view. The crank theory that I'm some kind of secret agent caught on. X user with follower counts in the tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands started referring to me as CIA Renee. The mere mention of the character's name, as with Thanos of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Lex Luthor in the DC Extended Universe, became enough to establish villainy. Okay, so she's portraying this as it's not even her, right? It's not even her that they're talking about. They're talking about some lady that she doesn't even recognize. She was involved with the CIA. She was like running a censorship program. Like, imagine you're just like some normal lady that wakes up one day to realize that, like, even though you're totally honest and cool and have nothing to do with the CIA, that people are saying that you're a CIA operative, that you have CIA ties, that you're censoring people as part of some sort of censorship industrial complex. I mean, this is dizzying. Like, oh my gosh, I have so much sympathy for her. She does go on to say in the next paragraph, however, I participated in a CIA scholarship program for computer science majors, so that is true. She also worked at the agency's headquarters during the summers doing entry-level tasks and left in 2004. Okay, so, all right, so it's maybe not that far from off the mark. Okay, so maybe the people accusing you of having CIA ties might have just been referencing those CIA ties that you have. This might be less of a fantastical cinematic universe that's been created and rather just an accurate reading of your personal history, lady. I don't even know how you write or read articles like this without thinking they're hilarious. It is kind of baffling. It is, like, for me, reading it, it is... Like, I didn't really know who this lady was. So as I'm reading it, I'm like, okay, so was all of this totally baseless? Oh, no. In the next paragraph, she admits that she has CIA ties and that she worked at their headquarters and that she was a part of their internship, that her career started at the CIA, you might say, that she was involved in the CIA while still a student and then after graduating. So her first job in college and immediately following was at the CIA headquarters. So, okay, not actually that far off the mark when we say you have CIA ties, is it, lady? Like, so what's all this first couple paragraphs about? About this crazy woman that you don't even recognize, this cinematic universe, this fantastical industrial complex. Okay, it's an accurate reading of your personal history. It is actually you that they're talking about. But that's just one of the things, obviously. Okay, so the CIA thing, a little bit of actual reality, okay? Kind of actually totally true. Interesting. But what about all the other accusations that she's running some censorship industrial complex, that she has a hand in manipulating the facts around the 2020 election. I mean, okay, so the CIA thing was kind of true, but what about that claim? That claim is ridiculous, right? That claim is insane. That's the one that's the fantasy that you don't even recognize? Well, no, obviously not. At the Stanford Internet Observatory, where I worked until recently, I studied the ways in which a variety of bad actors, spammers, scammers, hostile foreign governments, workers, networks of terrible people targeting children, and yes, hyper-partisans actively seeking to manipulate the public, use digital platforms to achieve their aims. Oh, so you were like running a censorship program. Okay, so all of the fantastical, crazy stories about you being associated with the CIA and also running a censorship program were entirely based off of fact and true. Interesting. Interesting how that took one page to develop. At the top of the page, it's all crazy nonsense. By the end of the page, you've admitted to all of it being accurate. And people wonder why we don't trust you. It's just these people, they think they can just crush you. They think they can insinuate themselves into big tech and cancel you and destroy your life and destroy your income and silence your free speech when you're telling the truth, when you're accurately portraying things. Like, you understand that if this lady was still in charge, now the Stanford Internet Observatory has been brought to heel. It's been shut down, essentially. It only has three staff. Apparently, her contract has not been renewed. And of course, she was actually the head of the Election Integrity Partnership. You know, the giant conspiracy to censor political discussion ahead of an election. In 2020, I helped lead the Election Integrity Partnership, a joint project by the Stanford Internet Observatory and other institutions that sought to detect viral misinformation about election procedures. So it's all totally true. It was all absolutely 100% true, everything that was being said about you, and you're just mad about that. So you realize if she still was in this position, if Elon Musk had never bought Twitter and they had never shut down the portal by which she could censor people that were saying things that she found to be misinformation, despite being accurate and true, anybody talking about her being associated with the CIA or running a censorship program would probably have been censored, because that's the way this works. She actually, in this article, and this is like the Russian nesting doll of lies, right? It's like lie within lie within lie, deception within deception. So here she is lying about her association with the CIA and internet censorship while talking about how the claims of her being these things were themselves lies. She's silencing misinformation while spreading misinformation. CIA Renee confirmed. And has now been shut down and brought to heel. So good riddance, go lie elsewhere.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now. And for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil.